Well, inevitably so. The legacy of Wellington after his death and how it's changed. Clearly, at the time of his death, as you would expect, you tend to dwell on the great achievements of the man, particularly in the military sphere. The politics, less so. Interestingly, the memory, to some extent, certainly of Waterloo, is downplayed because there had been great popular celebrations of Waterloo on 18th of June every year since it happened back in 1815. But a couple of years after Wellington's death, Britain found itself fighting the Crimean War, and our allies were the French. And it more or less was decreed from on high that it wouldn't be terribly politic to celebrate Waterloo anymore. And so popular celebration does more or less cease, amusingly. Wellington's reputation then in the later 19th century is of this great figure who represents the embodiment of Englishness, really, fortitude, strength, resolution, the Iron Duke, which becomes a sort of popular nickname. But it's very much a liberal era, though, for the late sort of 1870s. Gladstone, the Liberal Party, held sway. And Wellington is seen really of a bygone age, and his reputation declines. And the real comparison is with Nelson, who is seen as a lesser figure, really, at the time of Wellington's death, with a dubious sort of personal life. But by the end of the century, that is, going into the 20th century, it's Nelson's reputation, which is on the up, and Wellington's is fairly sort of solidified, really. I mean, you really have to fast forward to the Second World War and beyond. Wellington's papers were either, mostly still actually at Apsley House in the hands of the family. Some of them were in the British Library. But it was only at the end of the 1970s that the full archive was deposited and it ended up at Southampton University, where I happened to be a graduate who was just becoming a postgraduate. So I ended up as the first postgraduate to work on them. It was really that which allowed scholars to look at particularly Wellington's career post-1815. And so, as I was saying earlier, Wellington's reputation has gone up, certainly as a politician in the last 30 years. People will argue about his reputation as a soldier, obviously. I mean, he isn't a charismatic figure, so if you like your charismatic figures, then actually you'll always go for Napoleon. People will argue for their case in Marlborough, obviously. Slim to the Second World War, although the National Army Museum's poll of the greatest general about 7-8 years ago had Wellington coming out on top. But maybe that is just because it coincided with Waterloo. I guess, given the current interest in statues and so on, I was reading a couple of weeks ago in the Times that I think there's a survey of Welsh monuments has been ordered, and Wellington is one of those whose statues are now under scrutiny. I mean, probably because of his career in India, I suppose, because he was fighting there to forward the establishment and enlargement of the British Empire. So I wouldn't be surprised to see one or two people to take his statues down in due course. But that, to my mind anyway, shows a lack of grasp of wider historical perspective. But it would suggest that the argument is going to rage and maybe assume a new form.